today.
It's going down right here.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Mike Blewett along with Danny Martinez on this Tuesday morning. That was something last night. That was, I mean, he's worth the price of admission every week. Aaron Rodgers gives you what you're looking for. I very rarely throw around the term choke, but I felt like the Niners really just gagged that one away last night. Now, it wasn't a crazy big lead or anything that they squandered away. You know, it's 24-20 at halftime, so and they got up a little bit more than that. But Green Bay just scores 10 points in the last few minutes. Aaron Rodgers is clearly not just hurt, but he's bordering on injured. So it's amazing for him to just be able to do what he's doing. And the fantasy goodness spilled out all over the place in the process. So Aaron Rodgers goes 25 of 46 for 425. That last drive was ridiculous. He tacked on another 70 or so yards of passing. He has the two scores, 100 rating, and Davante Adams, the prime beneficiary of those targets. Davante Adams ends up with that second touchdown late in the game, 10 for 132 on 16 targets and two touchdowns. So for those of you that are like, oh, which guy do I play? Do I play, you know, I can't play Cobb. I can't play Allison. Do I play Valdez Scantling? Man, I hope you have Davante Adams. I just hope you have that guy because he was awesome last night. And there were times when the Niners were really in Rodgers' kitchen and they were doing a good job of limiting the Green Bay offense, but it just all fell apart. It really did. I couldn't believe that they weren't – I mean, I shouldn't say I can't believe it because I can believe it. It was Aaron Rodgers. But A-Rod really delivered in a big way last night, 25 again. 20 for the 425 and the two touchdowns, he ends up one of the top quarterback values of the entire week. And they go into a bye. You heard him talk about it late in the game, late after the game. They're looking to get some rest. He probably needs it as much as any player in the entire league needs a bye week. Aaron Rodgers needs a bye week right now, and they'll be on that bye. Obviously, a big story last night was Mason Crosby redeeming himself after his worst day as a pro last week. You could tell that they were emotional. Mason Crosby was emotional. I thought Aaron Rodgers looked emotional. So for those people saying that kickers don't matter, and I'm in leagues where we don't have kickers attached to it, but still a cool moment for him, I thought. And there were times during the game where that crowd looked legitimately panicked. And I was right with them because guess who I picked in my survivor pool? The Green Bay Packers. And the Pack pulled it off. So C.J. Beathard, on the flip side of things, was playing well there for a good portion of the game. He ends up 16 of 23, 245, and two touchdowns. I saw a showdown lineup last night that had Beathard in it. Obviously, those showdown lineups typically contain both quarterbacks, but Beathard chipped in with some good points, two touchdowns. He throws the pick late. I've seen some people debating online as to whether or not that pick even mattered. Would they have just punted anyway with it being fourth down there? It would have been fourth and 10, I believe. So he throws the pick late. They took a shot deep, but it really was what happened after that that determined it, with Rodgers getting free. And the Niners, Jason Witten commented saying that the Niners should sag off on coverage a little bit or play a little bit of a softer zone. And Rodgers completely took advantage of a little bit of that. The guys were sagging off the receivers too much. They got a couple of quick passes really in the last 20 seconds to move them even closer to make that game-winning field goal a chip shot. So the Niners ran the ball well, 5.8 yards per carry. Raheem Mostert, 12 for 87. Matt Breida, 14 for 61. He has a score, so Breida owners rewarded people. Even C.J. Beathard went 3 for 21. And Aaron Rodgers had a run down late too, and he could barely walk, let alone run, and he had a key run there late. Marquise Goodwin, the star on offense for the Niners overall, from a fantasy standpoint, 4 for 126 and two touchdowns. Everybody else kind of pedestrian numbers. Pierre Garçon, Kyle Juszczyk, even George Kittle, 4 for 30 last night. A little disappointing for me, but it didn't decide any contest. So Marquez Valdes-Scantling, 3 for 103. Jimmy Graham, 5 for 104. Hit a big 54-yard pass. Scantling had the big 60-yard pass. And outside of that, nobody was really valuable. Ty Montgomery had 6 touches on the night. Aaron Jones had 8 touches for 41 yards. Jamal Williams had 6 carries for 29 yards. Outside of the Aaron Rodgers numbers, I'm going to try to do some quick math here. So they ended up having 18 carries on the night for 41, 29, 70, 82. So 18 for 82, that was their running backs last night. A little bit of a commitment to the run, but nothing to write home about there. Not terrible numbers, but nothing to write home about. Ty Montgomery does have the rushing touchdown, but it becoming even tougher to figure out exactly who is going to be the valuable guy there. So as we keep going through it, I want to take a look at what happened on over the course of the day on Sunday. So we saw a lot of valuable performances. The last night, I'm trying to think of anybody here got in the top 10. Nobody. We all know about the action on Sunday night. We got Tyreek Hill, who's the top scorer of the week. He actually beat out Saquon Barkley in what was a huge matchup on Thursday, or a huge performance on Thursday night. Tyreek Hill with the 7 for 142, 3 touchdowns. You know, I'm going to go position by position and give you the ones for the week, because I always think that's a good way to highlight exactly who performed well this week. So Jameis Winston was the top QB. Daily Roto projections said Jameis Winston all week, and Daily Roto nailed it. I'm looking on ESPN scoring, so obviously some of you may differ slightly on how you score, but top projections all week had Jameis Winston in front, and Jameis Winston has the top performance of the week, 395 and 4 scores. Dak Prescott came in second. He obviously had the 3 total touchdowns, passed for 183, ran for 82. Aaron Rodgers comes in last night. He's the third quarterback, 425 and 2 scores. He added 34 rushing yards, always a nice little bump. Matt Ryan, 354 and 3 scores. Mitch Trubisky, 316 and 3 scores. He added 47 on the ground. Pat Mahomes, 352 and 4. He had the 2 picks. Brock Osweiler, 380 and 3. You didn't expect me to say that going into this past week. He has the 2 picks as well. Carson Wentz had 278 and 3. Cam Newton, 275 and 2. He added 43 rushing yards, which helps. Andrew Luck, 301 and 4. He had the 3 picks, which muted his numbers a little bit. I was at that game on Sunday. Colts-Jets ended up being far more exciting game than was anticipated. The 42-34 score, there's points all around. Points that probably weren't expected. I think people hammered the under in that game, and it wasn't even close. I had a miserable time getting back and forth to that game, which I detailed on air on Sunday with Chris Pavona and Joe Galena on the Fantasy Football Live show. New Jersey Transit just failing in every single possible way to get people back and forth to that stadium. It's an embarrassment. If the Jets and the Giants don't have the clout to change the lack of reliability of New Jersey Transit, I don't know if it's ever going to happen. I can only assume it's never going to happen. But it took me 90 minutes to get from Penn to MetLife Stadium, which is, what is that, 8 miles, would you say? 8 miles from Penn to 6 miles from here to from here to MetLife, and it took me 90 minutes to get there. I was an hour late for the game. They said they were running trains every 10 minutes, and when you get to the station, they're like, yeah, no, sorry. It'll be here when it gets here. So that was my experience going back and forth to the game. I keep going through it. We have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Tom Brady was the 11th QB, 340 and a score. He obviously ran for the touchdown. It was a 4-yard rushing touchdown. It was like the longest in maybe of his career or in years for certain. Roethlisberger, 32 of 46 for 369 and a score. That's your top 12 QBs. Russell Wilson was right behind there with the 3 touchdowns. Case Keenum, 322 as well. Top running backs, already talked about Saquon Barkley. It was going to be hard to beat him the other day. He went for 229 total yards and a score. Todd Gurley comes in second. 30 touches for Todd Gurley. 208 on the ground, 17 in the air. Melvin Gordon, mine and Dane Martinez's own Melvin Gordon. He had 20 touches for 132 and three scores. Kareem Hunt, we saw him just go crazy the other night. 15 touches for 185 and a score. Very efficient. James Conner, 23 touches. That went 111 on the ground, 18 in the air. Tariq Cohen came up big for a lot of people. I played him in one, sat him in the other, so mixed results for me. But he had the 12 touches for 121 and a score. Latavius Murray finally came through for those people that were picking him up in Dalvin Cook's absence. 25 touches for 158. Sony Michel, 24 touches, none through the air. 106 and two scores. Peyton Barber came through. He's the ultimate sell high candidate, I think, for a lot of people. 17 touches for 106. He has a receiving touchdown. A lot of people, I think, are going to be looking to unload Peyton Barber. The only thing I would say is just strategically, we talked about this last week to give everybody a heads up of what was coming. It starts off, the bye weeks really started off last week with only two teams but very high profile players between the Lions and the Saints being on bye. Now is when it's going to get real because you're losing four teams this week, four teams next week, and then six the week after that. So ditching guys now as you head into the bye weeks might be a little bit premature. I would map out what your players are going to look like over the next 3 weeks, weeks 7, 8, and 9. I can tell you I know I'm getting crushed in a couple leagues on byes, and it's going to be a lot for me to scramble. I have to start wrangling for it now before it gets too bad next week and the week after. Packers, Raiders, Steelers, Seahawks all on bye, so no Rodgers, Carr, Roethlisberger, Wilson. Those are starters in just about every league. At the running back position, you're losing a few valuable guys. The receivers is where you're really getting hurt there with Devontae Adams, Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, and more. So keep that in mind. In week 8, the teams that are on bye are the Falcons, Cowboys, Chargers, and Titans. So between the Falcons and the Chargers at a minimum, you're losing a lot of aerial firepower. And certainly on the ground between those running backs, plus Zeke Elliott with the Cowboys and the Titans, which I have the Titans over 8. I still feel okay about it, but, man, they're playing an ugly brand of football right now, which is surprising because that has been their problem the last couple of years, and they haven't fixed it. Week 9 is when the 6 teams are on bye. It could be worse, but it's just a lot of volume. Cardinals, Bengals, Colts, Jaguars, Giants, Eagles. So keep that all in mind over the next 3 weeks. You've got 14 teams between this week and those next 3 weeks. Half the league is on bye, and you have to be mindful of the guys that you're putting on the trading block or picking up and see if they can help you a couple of weeks down the line. So that's it on the byes. As we keep going through on the running backs, the Peyton Barber thing took me down a little bit of a wormhole, but Peyton Barber was in the top, was an RB1. Zeke Elliott ended up 24 for 106. He had 11 through the air, so 117 total. And then Joe Mixon, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Joe Mixon was the 11th running back. He goes for 84 yards on 15 touches and a score. Mixon was really seen as a chalk value, a big-time value in DFS. And I would say he delivered. Look, if the guy's an RB1, he delivered. Was he the best quarterback like Daily Roto told you Jameis Winston was going to be? No. But they also didn't say that. They were saying Todd Gurley was the top value. It was just going to be very expensive to buy him. So a lot of my lineups had Zeke Elliott and Joe Mixon, and that worked out for me. Alex Collins finishes as the number 12 RB on the week. He's a guy that I didn't even really think of playing this past week. 19 for 54 and 2 touchdowns. Ultimately, he's somebody that I have stuck with. I haven't been playing him, but it is a week-to-week scenario with him. You just have to figure out exactly who it is that is on bye that week or who he matches up against and who some of the other flex options match up against. So that's the story. So before I get back to the wide receivers, I wanted to let you know that BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events where you can make your play at any time during the game. BetDSI is now offering up to a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit if you use promo code FNTSY. That's BetDSI.com, promo code FNTSY. Head on over to BetDSI and start winning today. So keep going through it. The scoring leaders for the week, and then we'll do some injury recaps in the next break. But wide receiver ones on the week finishes up with Tyreek Hill. Clearly, he has the monster game, 7 for 142 and 3 touchdowns on the 12 targets. Devontae Adams comes up big last night, especially late. Catches the touchdown late, 10 for 132, 2 touchdowns on 16 targets. I believe he led the league in targets this week. He did. Only Adam Thielen was Adam Thielen had 15, and Devontae Adams came in top wide receiver in targets this past week. Albert Wilson, who I believe won somebody $1 million the other day, a Brock Osweiler-Albert Wilson lineup, won $1 million on one of the sites. 6 for 155 and 2 touchdowns on 9 targets, Albert Wilson. I think he's a guy you can pick up as we enter bye weeks here. That's probably the best week of his year and maybe the best week of his entire career. So 6 for 155 and 2. Cole Beasley, 9 for 101 and 2 touchdowns. He's a guy over the last couple of years that I always wanted to have at the end of my bench, and he just hasn't proven it on a week-to-week basis, so he breaks out for a big game there.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
We're back on
very
FST.
Nice.
Yeah, a little Charlie Daniels band. Getting fired up on Tuesday. So before we get to waivers, which Dana and I are going to talk about, DailyRoto.com is trying to make fantasy great again. Told you how the site has produced 7 separate FanDuel and DraftKings million-dollar tournament winners and millions more in smaller prizes for countless subscribers. I can tell you I was in the Daily Roto Slack chat, which you can do as a premium subscriber. I was in there this morning, and I saw guys posting screenshots of them winning tournaments. One guy, $4,000. Another guy, a couple grand. So they're helping everybody, and that was a showdown slate last night. He had Devontae Adams as his captain, or whatever it's called, the MVP on FanDuel. They had that, and then he had both quarterbacks, obviously. Yeah, Devontae Adams was in the MVP. He had both quarterbacks. He had both kickers, which was interesting, and then Marquise Goodwin. So using both kickers ended up being pretty clutch because Robbie Gould had a whole bunch of kicks, as did Mason Crosby. So good for that guy. He won, I think it was $4,100. So anyway, this past Sunday, last Sunday, obviously, I'm reading the wrong thing. My bad. I'm going to read it right now.
I'm going to read
the right one because we need to talk about the DailyRoto.com.
I mean, Collins dominates every single week.
He does. Well, everything I said is true, but let me do the updated read.
Right.
The DailyRoto.com NBA lineup optimizer is now available. So, obviously, NBA season is getting started this week, so that means you can use the same tools and projections that DailyRoto.com NFL premium subscribers are using to win each week for NBA DFS contests. You've heard a lot about the NFL DFS Optimizer here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and how its subscribers are winning tournament prizes on FD and DK in the thousands, hundreds of thousands, and the $7 million winners they produce. So you can double your pleasure and your cash on NBA DFS as well. If you're playing daily fantasy sports and you aren't using the Daily Roto tools, projections, and optimizers, you're doing it wrong, and you're at a competitive disadvantage. So go to DailyRoto.com, click on Go Premium, and enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount. Start winning today. That's DailyRoto.com. Click on Go Premium. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount and start winning today. DailyRoto.com, the site where millionaires are made, literally. So, all right, Dane. One piece of news that you did remind me of is that Mike Smith got fired in Tampa. their defense has been brutal. It's why I picked them under six. You feel good about me picking them under 6.5 right now?
I do. I do not see many wins left on their schedule, and they're clearly a team in turmoil.
I just
in my
wish
opinion,
they lost one of those
eight.
First two. I'd feel like I was already home.
Yeah, Fitzmagic maybe burned you.
He did.
Fitzmagic might have burned you.
Son of a
but
gun.
But they're giving up a 34.6
you know,
points
I went to,
a game.
I went to Boston College,
NFL.
And people from Harvard never liked us. So I have a feeling that's what has something to do with that.
Yeah, I'm sure Ryan Fitzpatrick and Cameron Brait, I do believe,
and Kyle
really
Juszczyk
were holding that grudge.
And Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah, but he's not on the Bucks though. But he's not on the Bucks.
I'm
though,
just Mike. Saying he's gonna find a way. He'll find a way.
okay.
I'm trying to get to the.
They do
the
go
Bucks
into
numbers.
Tampa late season, San Francisco.
So there we go. So
and maybe that Kyle Juszczyk will fumble on the goal line in a 2-minute drill and leave it laying out.
Do they have to
you?
Get together the night before the game and do Harvard stuff, like solve equations and stuff?
Probably.
So
probably. And they all have to try on DeSean Jackson's jumpsuit.
Yeah, that's right. So here are the Bucks' defensive numbers so far this year. Where do you think they rank in points allowed this season?
Last.
That's right. Where do you think they rank in yardage given up?
31st.
That's right. Now you're reading this.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I'm not.
First downs.
I just didn't want to say last. Go
first,
back to the well with last. That's
first
all
downs, they are 30th. Passing yards, dead last. Touchdowns allowed, dead last. They've allowed. They already had a bye.
Yeah.
So keep this in mind. So it's only five games. 1,778 passing yards and 16 touchdowns. They've only picked off one pass. They're allowing 8.6 yards. Net yards per attempt. That's brutal. And you can look at some of their rushing defensive numbers, Dane, and be like, that's not so bad. It's because the teams only throw.
It's the passing game. Yeah. And to be honest, remember, Blewett, for all of last week and weeks, you know, the last couple of weeks, we didn't get a chance to talk yesterday, but we were hugely high on the Tampa Bay passing game and Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
And you loving Cameron Brait, who, by the way, got that touchdown right off the bat to help us.
Yes.
But the reason because of that is because of how horrible this Tampa Bay pass defense is. You know, we believe Tampa's going to be in shootouts because of this defense.
I agree. And they give up. They're in bottom three in points per drive against and yards per drive against. So it continues to be rough sledding there. Mark Duffner comes in as the new defensive coordinator. Dirk Cutter and Mike Smith apparently are friends, and he didn't really want to do this, but we've seen this kind of stuff happen before. It's a rough business.
It was probably fire Mike Smith or get fired yourself.
Well, that's what I was about to add. It's a perfect segue I was going to add. When this stuff starts to happen, it's all going to unravel.
Mm-hmm.
It's all going to unravel. Yep. Mark Duffner's not going to fix the defense. They might play a little bit better. But now this team knows that this guy will fire anybody. I'm looking out for number one now. And teams like that fall apart. So that's what I think could happen to the Bucks. I'm not saying they're going to go winless, but I'm saying it's going to get ugly. Jameis in that. They still lost. 395.
Absolutely.
And multiple scores.
Four touchdowns.
Daily Roto crushed it. They said he's the top play in DFS all day long, all week long, and they were right. They nailed it. So Jameis had a huge day, and they nailed it on a few other guys too, but I digress. So let's get to the waivers. You probably have the numbers in front of you on certain guys that we can look to pick up this week. So some lower-owned guys that we think could be options this week as we head into a week with some significant buys. Steelers, Falcons, Seahawks, and Raiders are all on bye.
Yeah, they absolutely are. You know, Scotty and I were talking about
I said
some
Falcons.
Of these.
I'm sorry. I meant the Packers. I said Falcons. I meant the Packers. Packers, Raiders, Steelers, Seahawks. Yep.
Yep. So we were talking about it last hour, you know, looking at kind of the most heavily added guys and some percentage ownership in Yahoo leagues. I want to start at the running back, Blewett, and get your take because I'm sure you went over the game. But one of the things that I thought was most interesting is Raheem Mostert and no Alfred Morris, you know. So the question is really, is that a kind of one-week thing? Or is Mostert, who is one of the most heavily added running backs right now and not owned anywhere, you can definitely get him. Would you take a play on Mostert? Or would you take a play on some of these other guys? Let me reel off for you real quick. Blewett, Marlon Mack is 27% owned. Peyton Barber, 33% owned. A guy like our guy, Lat Murray, with no Dalvin Cook. And, you know, what do you think about that long term. He's 49% owned. You know, these are the guys we're thinking about. Nick Chubb out there as well at around 30% ownership. I'd wonder, you know, we saw Mostart. Would you take Mostart over guys like Lat Murray, Marlon Mack,
Keaton
Barber, Nick Chubb?
I don't think I would. I thought they were he was pretty efficient last night, but I don't have a lot of faith in that Packers D in general. Of the names that you rattled off, I think Latavius Murray, as long as Cook is out, is the most interesting to me. I think what we saw the other day is a little bit more indicative of the type of performances you'll get. Now, it's extreme. I don't think he's going to see the ball 25 times a game and rush for 155, right. But I think he's the guy I'd want the most, because even if you don't think Lat Murray can get it done on an annual basis, he's the guy of that group that I trust the most to do it for, say, 3 weeks, right? He had some disappointing performances early, but I would trust that he could do better. The Marlon Mack thing is interesting to me. I actually kept him in one league, Dane, and then cut him.
Yeah.
So it was a bad keep.
Wow.
It was a bad keep. I kept him in, like, the 10th round just because my thought process was like, all right, he's not going to be healthy to start the season.
He might be a lead back.
But, yeah, he could be a lead back down the road. And then it just got to the point where I needed a spot, and he wasn't playing at all. So how productive can he be? But I have to say that was encouraging. It was a sort of a weird game with the Jets and Colts. It was far more high scoring than anybody anticipated. But he looked pretty good. And as little faith as you might have in a Colts
rushing game. They also put Hines in the doghouse, though, after that red zone drop.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it goes. You're a rookie and you drop a ball in the red zone, you get to sit for a while.
Right, but I say, I don't know that carries over until next week, is what I mean.
I think
so
they would like
Max
it to. I think they would like it to be that Mack sees most of the carries and Hines catches most of the passes. That makes the most sense.
It's like
to
the Sony Michelle James White split, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird that Michelle didn't catch any passes. But it is what
it was. But I'm just saying, in terms of definitive roles, you want Marlon Mack between the tackles early down, and Nyheim Hines is kind of more solidified in a PPR pass catching role.
Yeah. So I do sort of think, I think Mack is interesting to me. You mentioned Peyton Barber. Not a lot of faith there, but I've detailed it several times on this show alone this morning. We got a lot of teams on buys. You're going to have to pick guys up. If I were anybody playing right now, and I have to do this week, I need to map out the next 3 weeks and see how badly I'm getting crushed, especially weeks 8 and 9. I got problems. Now, this week I got problems.
Week 9 has 6 teams on bye. Week 11, I believe, has 6 teams on bye. I would go out ahead and see, like, you know, for example, on one of my teams, Blewett, I own DeAndre Hopkins and Stephon Diggs are 2 of my wide receivers. They both are on bye week 10, right? So I'm looking right now who is the projected wide receiver to score the most points in week 10. Like, who's – and you know what I did? I looked to see who is facing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Mike, and you know who it is? It's the Washington football team. So guys like Jamison Crowder, Paul Richardson may be getting dropped right now, right? But – could be back and healthy and in a prime matchup week 10 against Tampa. That's the kind of, like, projecting ahead you have to do, because you could probably get a Jamison Crowder or a Paul Richardson right now.
Yeah, let's rip through some of the other positions as well.
Sure.
Anybody else out there?
Go.
Oh, you mentioned a couple of wide receivers. Tight ends, we're going to start losing guys. I don't know who else is really out there. That's kind of a wasteland of a position. I think you got to go week to week, really stream it these next few weeks, see if you have a guy that can maybe.
So tight end?
Yeah.
Listen, you got Hooper at 60% owned. You got our guy Vance McDonald at 50%. O.J. Howard is still out there in about half of leagues. In Cincy, C.J. Uzomah. And, of course, our guy Cameron Brate. Those are the 5 that I identified. And Scotty, I'll just tell you real quick, Scotty said he would go Vance McDonald 1, Uzomah 2, O.J. Howard 3, Hooper 4, and Cameron Brate 5 of those guys.
I would move Hooper up. You just have to keep in mind Vance McDonald is on bye now.
On bye.
And then Hooper is going to be on bye really soon. So I like Vance McDonald long term. I like the number of targets that he's seeing. I'm not suggesting he's going to be dominant, but I do like him as being a regular part of the offense.
You like his stiff arm too, right?
Yeah, of course. Who doesn't? Plus, he says he likes to punish people. So who's better than him? Scott Fishbowl update. I'm out of first place.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. 6th.
Yeah, what are you in, like 3rd?
6th.
Yeah, out of 900.
Yeah,
that'll work.
Yeah. So I had no Kamara this week. So Kamara has been like pacing
right.
those big point totals. So I had no Kamara. So
I had no Kamara and GST. Still got a W.
Yeah,
and we continue to roll, Blewett.
We
got to figure this out.
We do.
How much we're going to dominate these guys by?
Yeah. So truncated show with Dane and I today, but we'll be back on Thursday to catch up. And we'll get you set.
We're like ships
lineup.
Crossing in the night.
That's right. All right. Thanks for everybody. Got Carton and Friends next. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Dana will be back tomorrow with Scott Engel for Roto Experts and for FST. Keep it locked.